It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog.
This is about our kids, this is about our coaches, our communities, and everything that they pour into this.
One of these things is not like the other.
I think you got your point across, John.
Did I get my point across? Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small. It's time for the semifinals here in the playoffs in the GHSA. We are down to the final four in each classification. It is 32 teams that are left, not including flag football, as their playoffs are kicking in as well. We'll get into that as we go here today. John here, Hannah there. And it's an interesting show because it's going to be an interesting week.
It's going to be. So here's what we're doing on today's show. We're going to recap our Football Fridays in Georgia game of the week, Walton versus Carrollton.
Check.
Preview our doubleheader semifinal games.
So much for burying the lead. Okay.
Yeah, you heard that right. Mill Creek versus Milton and Rome versus Langston Hughes. We're going to break down key games with some bracketology and hear from Fulton County AD Stephen Kraft on the underrated Fulton County high school football teams.
Well, and also the idea of what it will take to logistically pull off this doubleheader. And for those of us here at Georgia Public Broadcasting, it's a first. When the semifinals themselves were at the Georgia Dome before, you have things now where it's one site for the finals. It used to be home sites for the finals, and the semifinals were at the Georgia Dome, and it was 2 days of five games that would start at like 11 o'clock or, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, and it would go at like 9, 12, 3, 6, and 9 or whatever, and then we'd be all just incredibly tired, and we would crash all day on Sunday. This is the first time in the history of Georgia Public Broadcasting where when we have on-site doubleheaders for home sites that we're doing two games at once. I mean, there've been times in the regular season where we would come on at our regular time, we'd wrap up a game, and then we would do our main game like we would do at Memorial Stadium, Hallford Stadium, shows you how old I am, in DeKalb County, but I mention it as DeKalb Memorial Stadium. But this is the first time that we've had semifinals back-to-back, one site, on Georgia Public Broadcasting, and obviously we
not
can't.
Not a web game.
No, no,
both
no.
TV
this is
games.
Straight up TV, and it's going to be, we're catching up with everybody and keeping everybody up to date with what's going on with all the 7:30 kicks. Keep an eye on your social media if your teams decide that they want to kick off a little earlier. But Hannah and I are going to be bringing in all the planes and directing traffic for one more week and figuring out who the finalists are going to be in a week and a half's time over at Georgia State Stadium in Center Park.
A lot more of that to come, but first I want to take a look around the state in some big news. So coming out of the quarterfinals.
How big was it?
Coming out of the quarterfinals, defending champions Warner Robins and Fitzgerald survived, both winning in OT. Dutchtown is a semifinalist for the first time in its 18-year history after taking down Mays in OT 40-34. John, those were some wild games.
And you've got another couple of semifinalists for the first time. St. Francis in the semis for the
what
first time.
What a fun
time.
Story that is.
Frank Barden, who won championships at Cartersville, is now taking St. Francis to a semifinal, one game away from playing in the last game of the year. Sly County, Darren Alford, who's been a guest with us a lot on the postgame show.
Yes.
Sly County has now made it to the semifinals. It used to be, let's get into the playoffs. Then let's get into round two. Let's get into the quarters. Now they're into the semis, and that progression with Darren Alford is working out as well.
Our road warriors.
Yes.
Cedartown did not have to make the four-hour bus ride back unhappy. They beat Bainbridge 26-21. So that was 257-mile drive.
Mm-hmm.
Not the longest, though. Calhoun to Ware was 309 miles,
yeah.
And Calhoun did have to make the drive back.
Yeah.
Sad. They lost 35-0. So that's a long, long, quiet ride back, John.
No doubt about it. Oh, I forgot to mention, we have a new friend.
Oh!
We have a new friend.
No way!
Once again, let me go below for those watching the video version, I'm going to go below the table, which is not a good thing to do for television.
Naughty, not nice.
It's naughty, not nice. It's a naughty, not nice thing for television.
I don't know where you were going with that.
It's just not something that you're supposed to do on TV. I'm breaking rules
okay,
for television.
Okay, but you do it every show.
Of course I do. But still, you want to sit there and you want to tell folks that it's not something that you're supposed
it's
to
naughty,
do.
Naughty, not nice.
No.
Okay, let's look at this helmet. It's maroon.
Yes.
It's a nice shade of maroon, though, with a gold spray. spear through the top?
Maybe a lightning bolt, maybe.
Ooh,
or something.
Okay.
Like that.
So what team is this?
This is Dooley County.
Nice.
This is from our friends at Dooley County and Coach Cecil Lester, who made it to the previous round before losing to Lincoln County. So Lincoln County beats Dooley County 24-21, but Coach Lester.
Yeah, they made a great run this year.
They did, and caught up with him for my column 2 weeks ago. And here is the Dooley County helmet, the Dooley County Bobcats. Here's the helmet, so we get to add this to the stacks as I break my fingers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, break my fingers. But, yeah, Dooley County, we get to now add that that new friend to our stacks on the studio.
We kept trying to get him on the post-game show, too, and the technology just wasn't cooperating.
No, technology was not cooperating in Lincoln County. But once again, thanks to Cecil Lester and everybody at Dooley County for bringing us our new friend. And as we always say, we want to show you off to the rest of the state. And so if you want to have your helmet on the set, find a way to reach out to us, and we will be more than happy to have new friends introduced here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast and on Countdown to Kickoff on Thursday.
All right, let's recap our Football Friday in Georgia game of the week. It was a 7A quarterfinal matchup between Walton and Carrollton at Grisham Stadium, which featured the classification's leading passer and Trojans quarterback Juju Lewis. He has 3,339. I was hoping for 3,333 yards.
So next time out, you want him to have -6 yards passing for one play.
Just
so that way it's 3,333.
3,333 yards.
Uh-huh.
He was 22 of 32 for 333 yards.
There you go.
Wow. And 4 touchdowns. No interceptions on Friday. Okay, but he wasn't even the best performer on the field, if you can believe it. Bryce Hicks was our Cotton Commission player of the game.
For the second time ever.
First time we've had a second timer. First time we've had a second timer.
Uh-huh.
And listen to these numbers. He had 89 yards rushing, 64 yards receiving, 5 touchdowns, also accounting for 5 tackles and an interception in the 52-27 win over the Raiders. Here's Carrollton head coach Joey King after the game with reporter Nikki Noto-Palmer.
Coach, what can you say about our Georgia Cotton Commission player of the game over here, Bryce Hicks?
He was on the field on both sides of the ball all night long. I've said it time and time again. Man, he's our best football player. He can play any position on the field. He'd probably try to play offensive line if we let him. Not quite big enough, but I love him to death, and he fought his tail off tonight.
We also pulled a clip from Hicks himself. Here he is after the game.
All right, let's bring in our Georgia Cotton Commission player of the game, Bryce Hicks. Bryce, bring it in. How you feeling?
I'm good. It's a good win. We came out, executed, came out with the win. Now we're going to the fourth round.
That's what's up. You're going to the semis. You got to go through Moultrie. You're playing Colquitt County. Do you know anything about that program?
I know they got our old head coach, Calhoun, but it's going to be a good physical game. So we locked in on Sunday meetings.
All right, well, you had a physical game yourself. Let's go through these numbers. On the ground, 19 carries for 90 yards, 3 touchdowns, and then in the air, 4 receptions, 64 yards, 2 touchdowns. How'd you get it done tonight?
I just executed the team. We came out, did what we practiced all week, and just came out to light.
So, John, this kid just had the night of his life.
Again.
And he goes,
again.
I just did my thing.
Yeah.
Just another Friday night for me.
But I think that speaks to what Joey King and the coaching staff are giving when it comes to presentation and how you want to just go ahead and focus on the task at hand every single week. What the coach's messaging is rubbing off on the players, and they know that the drill is not done, that the season is not completed, and so for them it is just it's great to win. But it's another step in the process. And remember that this game was tied at one point. Mm-hmm. And then Carrollton put the pedal down and put 52 on the board by the time the night was over.
Wow. It was really a wild one to watch. And like Nikki said, Carrollton advances to the semis to face Colquitt.
Mm-hmm.
This will be their first meeting, so that'll be an interesting one.
Well, and we also heard facing their old coach in Sean Calhoun, friend of the post-game show as well. So that's while it's two great teams and two great programs. I know that folks might be focusing on that little bit of subplot as well, but that's only half the bracket there in 7A.
So our two doubleheaders are a 7A game and a 6A game. The game we just talked about was bottom left of the 7A bracket. So let's take a look at those two brackets, John, starting with 7A.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Colquitt put up 52. Carrollton put up 52. Mill Creek was up early on Westlake, got the win 38-14. And then Milton once again in control over Grayson 35-12. So you had two teams in the 30s. You had two teams in the 50s. And I think it speaks to, once again, what we're seeing is the extremes with high-powered offenses and stingy defenses as you get into this point of the season. That's how you end up with Carrollton, Colquitt, Mill Creek, and Milton at Lakewood.
Now in 6A, you have Roswell and Hughes, two Fulton County teams still in the race. What are your takeaways from 6A last Friday?
Well, I think Thomas County Central had a big lead, and Roswell came back to get the win. So great come from behind win for Roswell. You just hope that if you're a fan of the Hornets that they didn't expend all their energy in coming back and getting this win to get to the semifinals. Then you have Gainesville and Houston County. This game, I think, was tied at 14 at one point. Then Gainesville, we've seen them all season long just grow into these games and put up big numbers by the time they're done. So Gainesville won by two touchdowns. Hughes, this one was tied early as well. I think it was 21-21. Then Daniel Boone Williams, the head coach at Hughes, they've adjusted, and we've seen that this season on Football Fridays. They put up 56 on the board, and in a game that I think maybe took, and I'm being facetious here, it might have taken like an hour and 12 minutes, but Rome and Marist, two teams that want to sit there and run clock, make sure that the other team has to be clinical in their possessions. Rome got the win 17-7, so that's your final four.
More brackets coming up after our guest. But in the meantime, you can go to gpb.org/sports for all the brackets or download the GPB Sports app.
What she said. And so it's time to catch up with someone who has had a very, very busy last couple of days, Fulton County Athletic Director Stephen Kraft, to break down what it's like to try to put a doubleheader together and what it's been like for Fulton County Athletics and Fulton County Football to be making this deep a run with this many teams.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the show today. So Fulton County schools are always heavily represented late in the season like this. Many go on to win state championships. Three are left in it. What does that say about football in your area?
It just says we have amazing kids, amazing coaches, amazing community support, and, you know, tremendous district support, because it takes all of those in there. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is about our kids. This is about our coaches, our communities, and everything that they pour into this. You know, when you advance this deep into the playoffs, you have talent, but also, you know, you have luck. But really, it comes down to that commitment that all of the stakeholders have in place in order to make this happen. So, you know, as the district athletic director, you know, this is one of the proudest accomplishments to have three teams in the state semis. And, you know, we had five in the quarterfinals that, you know, nearly qualified. So, I mean, it's just an amazing accomplishment for our district and our schools, and most importantly, our kids.
Well, and you're seeing different names coming to the fore as well. I mean, Alpharetta makes it into the playoffs, and they're turning their program around. You're seeing Cambridge win region titles. It's like you're seeing some of the same names that we're used to seeing, but you're also getting that new blood from the county as well that's being put into it and making those deep runs into playoffs too.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think it just shows to the level of competition that we have in our district. You know, everybody is competing against each other, and, you know, iron sharpens iron, and, you know, they're working to get to that next step. And so you see programs that are elevating to our other programs that have already had, you know, a long history of success. And so it's just good for everybody. And, you know, I love that it's not always just the same teams, that other teams are popping up, and, you know, it's just, you know, just, they love competing. And, you know, I think we've got an environment that is really conducive for that in Fulton County.
On the flip side of all of this, you hear a lot more about Cobb County schools, Gwinnett County schools. Do you think Fulton County gets the respect it deserves?
You know, that's a tough question for me to answer. I am extremely proud of the success we have had across the board in all sports during my 11 years as the athletic director here. And I think when you look back at it and look at the success and the number of state titles, you know, I would put our record up against anybody. So I can't control who gets talked about. You know, we definitely do our part to celebrate our programs and support our programs. But, you know, I'm very proud that we have three teams in the state semifinals. And I'm pretty sure there's not another district right now that can claim that for this year, at least in 2022.
All right, so let's get into the logistical aspect of the semifinals. In a playoff structure, What's it like juggling all these different chainsaws as an athletic director, trying to get something orchestrated the way that you had to at times in the playoffs, not just this year, but in other years? How difficult a task is it for an athletic director to do what is being done with double headers and stadia and neutral sites and all these kinds of things? How tough a task is that?
It's hard. I'm not going to lie to you. It is hard, but I've got amazing school athletic directors that I support them, and they get a lot of work done for us. But, you know, we do have to work hard on the logistics. And, you know, in this situation that we're in right now, you know, three teams in the semis, I don't have one stadium that can support the GHSA requirement of 6,000 seats. So then we have to find venues if we're the designated home team. And so, you know, working that out is tough. And, you know, I mean, I typically, you know, like the normal playoffs, you know, I'll pick maybe north or south if we've got a couple of home games. And, you know, I'll go to one game to the next. You know, the other night we had Creekside actually starting at 7, and I had two games at 7:30. So I went to Creekside at 7. I went to Langston and watched the end of their first half. And then I ended up that night with the Westlake Parkview game. So I saw three of my teams compete that night. So I'm busy and go as fast as I can go to as many locations as I can in one night.
When it comes to Lakewood this Friday, how is it going to work specifically?
Yeah, so we've got two games set up, and that is something that is a little unique for us in Fulton County Schools, but that is not unique for APS. You know, they routinely have doubleheaders during the season, and they had a doubleheader in the second round of the playoffs there. So, you know, we've got one game set up for 5, and that's the Milton versus Mill Creek game. And then we will start the next game. Right now it's slated for 8 o'clock, and, you know, it'll be 30 minutes after the ending of the first game. So hopefully we stay on schedule. We can't always quite control that, obviously. But, you know, we're going to bring the first two teams in, and we're still working through all the logistics of that. But then, you know, as soon as that game is over, we'll have the second game there. So I think it's incredible that we can have two semis at the same venue. And I think it's awesome that y'all are agreeing to broadcast this, and I'm excited for this. And, you know, for me, I get to see, you know, two of my three teams participate. I don't have to drive all over the place for it. So I'm kind of happy about that.
So on those same lines, what about the fans? Do you have to completely clear the stadium out and then re-ticket everyone? How is that going to work? And isn't that going to take a lot of time?
So normally with an event like this, you would have to clear the stadium. But the reality of this is, you know, Lakewood Stadium holds close to 12,000 people. So we're going to have a lot of space for the fans. And so we are not going to have to clear the stadium. All the tickets are done electronically through GoFan. So the Milton and Mill Creek will be buying, you know, from their link. The Langston and Rome fans will be buying from their link. So you don't have to worry about the separation of money and making sure the schools are getting what they're entitled to do. So, you know, I am excited from the fact that we don't have to clear the stadium now. So if some of the fans from Mill Creek and from Milton want to watch the second game, they're going to be welcome to do that. We're going to have plenty of space. We'll move the bands out and move them in and out of the stands and then kind of work from there. So, but, you know, we should have plenty of space for everybody to be there on Friday.
Well, so, and let me ask you this. When it came to, I guess what I'm looking for here is almost the play-by-play of how this came to pass. So,
sure.
Quarterfinals end. You know who your teams are that are going into the semifinals. How immediate were the conversations getting all of these things in motion, because it's teams, it's stadia, it's all these different things. How busy was your weekend? I assume you have unlimited minutes on your cell phone where you can be in conference call capabilities. I mean, what was it like for you?
That's exactly right. And I'll be honest with you. The phone call started as soon as I was driving home from Langston's game. That was the second game that I went to on Friday night. And I knew I had three teams that qualified. And so I started reaching out right then. I was reaching out with Gainesville's athletic director. I was reaching out to I was getting a number for Rome's athletic director. And then I was reaching out to the head coach at Mill Creek, because I had his contact number. So I started that conversation Saturday night. And then, you know, probably worked till about 1:30, 2 o'clock that night. And then, you know, started working the phones again, probably 7:30 Saturday morning, and started kind of really working on this and, you know, making sure, because, you know, obviously you know, we had three teams that were designated as the home teams. And so I had to find venues for this. And, you know, at one point I had three venues and I lost one of those venues. And so that kind of forced us to like, okay, here are the options. And, you know, so Langston and Rome, you know, so just so y'all know, when the home team stadium does not meet the capacity, then it is the responsibility of the home school to secure a facility that does meet it, unless the opponent agrees to waive the seating requirement.
Right.
In this case, you know, all three schools asked to have a stadium that meets the seating requirements, and that is their right, and, you know, for the white book. And so we started working. So I was fortunate, you know, through, you know, McEachern was more than happy to host a game for us. And so we put Roswell and Gainesville there. I had already secured with APS to have the Langston Lakewood game, the Langston Rome game there at Lakewood. And then, you know, we weren't able to use their other facility, which is where I was kind of hoping to put the Mill Creek Milton game at. And so at that point, I started the conversations with the Mill Creek administration, like, hey, here's the options that we can do. Here's some choices. Would you like for me to look at this, this, and this? Are there any circumstances you would consider playing this game at Milton? And they said no. I asked them about, listen, the Forsyth schools do not meet the capacity, but their stadiums are much larger than ours. Do you want me to reach out to those schools to see if they would be interested? And they said no. So at that point, the venue that I had available to do was to do a doubleheader at Lakewood. So at that point, I started working on it. I started having conversations with my counterpart, Jasper Jewell, who is the athletic director for APS, and Corey Collier, who is his coordinator, and started having conversations about like, hey, is it doable to do a doubleheader? And we started working through the logistics. And so I reached back out to Mill Creek and said, hey, here's what I can do. Here are the options. Are you interested in this? And they said, no, we're not interested in that. We're not interested in that. I called a few other places that weren't interested in hosting us. And so I'm like, okay, here's where we are. We're going to do a doubleheader. And, you know, we finalized everything and signed the contract Sunday. And then, you know, I just kept working most of the day Sunday, working on the logistics for this.
Roswell's back in the playoffs for the first, not for the first time, for nine years in a row. Milton, we all know what they can do there, the heavyweight of Fulton County in the finals last year, won a state championship in 2018. But Hughes is a team that was 2-8 in 2019 and has come onto the map with quarterfinals, finals, now they're in the semifinals. How much fun has it been to watch them come onto the map here?
It's absolutely incredible for them. And to your point, they were 2-8 3 years ago. These are the same kids. You know, they took their lumps that year. There were a lot of freshmen and sophomores playing, and they're playing 6A football at that point with those kids. And those kids have grown up and they've gotten better. And Coach Williams and his staff has done an amazing job developing those kids and setting up structure and the environment for those kids to be successful. Those kids have embraced it. And, you know, listen, they came so painfully close last year to winning the state championship. You know, they were ahead for a good portion of that football game in the state finals. And, you know, they came up short. So they have been hungry this entire year. So for me, as someone that, you know, I don't watch them practice every day. You know, I've got 16 high schools in Fulton County.
You can't be at 16 places at once, Coach?
I try, but not all the time. Maybe on a good day I can. But to see their growth and to see their determination this year, you know, they obviously have had a target on their back this entire year. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been ranked number one from day one, and they have handled that pressure, and they played a challenging preseason schedule. You know, non-region schedule that included a couple of nationally ranked teams. And, you know, I'm proud of them for doing it. And I'm just excited for them to get an opportunity to play in the semis on Friday as well. And, you know, Milton is back after going through the they were in the state finals last year. They graduated a lot, but they have such a wonderful culture. They got a brand new coach with Ben Reeves, who was the offensive coordinator. And, you know, they haven't missed a beat. You know, they took a couple of losses early against nationally ranked teams, and that prepared them to, you know, have success in the playoffs. And then, you know, Roswell and Chris Pruitt. Chris has been building that program each year since he took over about 3 or 4 years ago. and they were just getting better and better and better. And, you know, I knew, and they were playing, they were a quarterfinal team in 7A last year. And so now they're down in 6A, and here they are in the semis. And, you know, I'm just proud of all three. I'm proud of the coaches. And I'm proud of these kids.
My last question for you is about flag football, which has made such a splash on GPB sports the past couple of years. How has that sport grown in Fulton County? And some, who are some of the heavy hitters that are still going at it?
You know, we would have followed the very next year after Gwinnett, and obviously COVID hit. And so we did one team as kind of the pilot, and that was Westlake that year. And then the next year we added it every single high school, and it has been just the support for it. The girls have absolutely loved it. The coaches are enjoying it. It is fun to watch, and I'm excited to watch them. You know, anything we can do to promote female sports and get more athletes out there competing is, you know, it's going to get 100% support from me always. And what's unique about this is kind of where this season is. You know, you have a lot of multi-sport athletes that mm-hmm. are playing flag football.
You do.
And what they're doing is, you know, it's kind of unique, but our coaches are working together to support them. So the softball coach is working with the flag football. You know, we got volleyball girls that are out there. We got basketball players, and the coaches are working together to allow these girls to play both sports at the same time. So I'm excited for them.
Well, Coach, as always, it's great to have you on to kind of pull back the curtain when it comes to administrative duties and how it is for an athletic director, not just for one school, but for like 11 billion that you have to kind of keep an eye on for an entire season.
And your pride in the kids just gives me chills.
Yeah.
The passion
well,
in your voice
you.
Is really awesome. So,
yeah, so Fulton yeah. County Athletic Director Stephen Kraft. Coach, thanks for coming on with us to talk about the doubleheader, the logistics involved, and what it means this deep in a playoff run to have Fulton County going as deep as you are. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. We definitely will be seeing you on a sideline very soon.
Perfect. Thank y'all so much, and thank you for everything y'all do to promote athletics in the state of Georgia.
Always great to catch up with Stephen Kraft to talk about Fulton County football. But as promised, let's go through the rest of bracketology. John, we left off at 5A. On the left side, Ware County will face Dutchtown. On the right side, Warner Robins versus Cartersville. The Demons trying to get back to the finals again. What are your takeaways from 5A?
Two of the games went to free football. The Dutchtown game with Mays, as you mentioned, 40-34. And the stingy defense with Dutchtown that we've seen this season going to Ware County. You've mentioned travel.
Travel.
Not quite the 300-plus miles that Calhoun takes to go to Waycross, but I think it's going to be a stern test for Dutchtown as they go to Ware County. Ware County shut out Calhoun, winning that one by 35. And then on the right-hand side of the bracket, two teams that we've always noticed and always known were going to be making deep runs, Cartersville and Warner Robins. And I know that a lot of folks, the beginning of the year, Warner Robins is 1-4.
They do it every year.
But that's the thing, is that you want to challenge yourself mm-hmm. and get you prepared for region play and these kinds of runs. And we had Marquise Westbrook on the postgame
yes,
show to talk about it. You're down, you're 1-4, and I'm sure that a lot of folks were either kicking dirt on them if they weren't a Warner Robins fan or might be concerned. But I'm always like, look, region play is where you make your hay. You learn about yourself in non-region play so you can be ready for region play season 2, which gives you these runs that we're seeing. But at the MAC, Cartersville and Warner Robins, that one is going to be stout.
Seems to work for Coach Westbrook mm-hmm. year after year. 4A, it's Cedartown versus North Oconee and Benedictine versus Troop County.
Yeah, I know. West always seems to play east here. And this one's going to be in Savannah this round. You know, in these regions that were paired, New Hampstead was the 4 seed coming out of that region. They played Troop in a back and forth in round number 1. And so now that we're here in round number 4, you get Troop and Benedictine playing each other again. Great talents, Teo Todd, Zaquan Bryan, Luke Krummenhock. Fantastic athletic prowess. I think that the game still might be going on by the time we come back here next week to talk about it with the All-Stars.
I don't doubt it.
And then North Oconee, undefeated. Great season so far, what we've seen from Tyler Arant and that group with the Titans. Cedartown, top-ranked most of the year. So it's going to be a stern test for an undefeated team and game at Cedartown. It's going to be a great environment there.
AAA on the left, it's Carver Atlanta versus Sandy Creek. And on the right, it's Cedar Grove versus Oconee County. Cedar Grove trying to get back as well, John.
Three teams from the same region.
Wow.
Well, as we say here in public broadcasting,
the region of doom.
One of these things is not like the other.
Wait, we say that?
It's from, is that Sesame Street, I think?
Oh.
Yeah.
Sure.
One of the Sesame Street routines. You know, one of these things is not like the other, and that would be Oconee County. Everybody else is from the same region. Carver and Sandy Creek on the left-hand side. They played each other already this year, and Sandy Creek won by 10.
Okay.
So this is a rematch of a region game on that side. And then Oconee County with, I think they're a 3 seed coming in, going to Cedar Grove. It's going to be a tough one as they go and play at Godfrey Stadium.
AA Fitzgerald versus Fellowship Christian and Appling County versus Thompson.
Rock Mart and Fitzgerald. We knew it was going to take a while. It did. It was free football there. And Fellowship Christian took care of Pierce County. They had a big lead early on. And Fellowship Christian got the win. We caught up with head coach Tim McFarland of the Paladins on the postgame show as well. Fellowship and Fitzgerald, left-hand side. That one's going to be an interesting one. Then Thompson and Appling County. Thompson, I think, has been one of the more quiet teams this year because they're in the Augusta area. And you've got to kind of have to pay attention to the eastern frontier a little bit. Appling County, huge lines on the offense and the defensive side of the ball. Going to be one of the toughest tests the Bulldogs have had all season.
Class Single A Division One. I think your song also applies to this one.
Yeah.
One of these things is not like the other.
True.
You have heavyweights Irwin County playing Swainsboro and then Prince Avenue Christian playing our Cinderella story, St. Francis.
Well, but St. Francis, though, they won a region title. I wouldn't necessarily sit there. If you're a fan of St. Francis or
this season,
or
maybe
Frank
their whole season.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're Frank Barden, the head coach, you might sit there and say, that's a great idea. Say we're a Cinderella story. but they won a region title, and so they come through as a one seed, and St. Francis is going to have to go to Bogart in the suburbs of Athens to take on Prince Avenue Christian, who Aaron Philo, and I know that you've been keeping an eye on Aaron Philo all season, Hannah, one of the tremendous quarterbacks here in the state of Georgia, Swainsboro and Irwin County. This game was supposed to happen in the regular season, but the hurricane knocked it off the board, so these two teams, it was supposed to be in Swainsboro. This time it's going to be at Buddy Noble Stadium. Great matchup on the left-hand side.
And that's interesting, John. And one other thing about St. Francis, too, do you think they have emerged this year because of the reclassification?
That could very well be. I mean, you also have teams that cycle through, and for Coach Barden, it's been a couple of years, and so it's a couple of years under the same cycle of understanding what Coach Barden wants and chasing after championships and having veteran teams and things like that. Just getting adjusted to how Coach Barden wants to do things, I think, plays into that, too.
And finally, Class Single A Division Two. We have Bowdoin playing Lincoln County and Johnson County playing Sly County.
Yep, and Lincoln County and Bowdoin, this one we do know is a 7:30 start. And so for Lee Homskis and Lincoln County, they're having to travel all the way basically from Lincolnton, which is the South Carolina-Georgia border, just north of Augusta, to Bowdoin, which is on the other end of I-20, and you're going from one end of the state to the other. That's going to be an interesting travel plan and how Coach Homskis breaks up the day to go play Bowdoin, one of the top-ranked teams in Division II all season long. And Sly and Johnson, you know, we talked about Sly County, but once again, Jermyvie Tucker, running back, Johnson County, make that kid an offer. He beat Herschel Walker's career record for yards gained.
Call him.
Call
Don
Norton.
We should put his cell phone number
call
on the
Coach
podcast.
Norton in Wrightsville. Get Jermyvie Tucker an offer. Get Jermyvie Tucker an offer. Come on, coaches. I know you sit there and it's like, okay, well, he's 5 foot, you know, 5 foot six, and he might be 150 pounds. But as we always say, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. Jermyvie Tucker, make that kid an offer. Still flying
John
below the radar in a semifinal. I'm screaming in general. One of the most overlooked running backs in the state of Georgia leads his classification, breaks Herschel Walker's record on campus. Make that kid an offer. Come on, folks. Get with it.
My brain is rattling in between the headphones.
Well, it's because I'm pounding the table.
And screaming.
Yes. Well, no, if I was screaming, it'd be a little louder than that.
Oh, man. Well, I think you got your point across, John.
Did I get my point across?
Yes, even our listeners are about to call him and make him an offer.
Make an offer.
I might call him. Oh, man.
Call Johnson County High School college coaches. You're missing out. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, guys, we got a lot more brackets on Countdown to Kickoff this week. We took a Turkey Day break, much needed mental rest. I know everybody missed us, but we're back this Thursday to break all this down even more in depth. So make sure to tune into Countdown to Kickoff, GPB Sports Facebook Live, Thursday at noon.
What you said.
In other very, very, very important news.
Yes.
I just want to know.
Oh, here we go.
Has everybody got their Christmas decorations up now?
Here
we go. Is everybody on board?
Here we go. All right. So Christmas decorations. This was, see, For those that haven't caught up earlier episodes, Hannah like skipped 9 holidays and had her Christmas decorations
November
up,
1st.
Like,
I was already
in
got
March.
I already had the boxes out.
It, for St. Patrick's Day, she had her decorations up for Christmas. And the rest of us here,
I've already got St. Patty's out, yeah.
Well, no, yeah, so straw poll before we go. Who has their decorations up and who is still working? Now that we have passed Thanksgiving, how much leeway have you given yourselves? Anyone?
It doesn't seem that anybody in this room has any Christmas decorations
how
up at
disappointing.
All.
How disappointing.
Well,
you guys are just a bunch of Scrooges.
Whoa. How does one relate to the other? This cause-effect relationship of yours does not compute, young lady. How does one relate to the other?
I don't know. You just need to be in the spirit, John, the spirit of Christmas.
So what you're saying
or
is,
holiday, whatever holiday you
so
celebrate.
So what you're maintaining is that for those of us who traveled during Thanksgiving, those of us who had to go in other
you
locations.
Find the time. I am a twin mom with 2 jobs. I found the time.
Because you skipped like 9 holidays and put it up in March. Can you believe? I can believe this. I sit here and ask this rhetorically. Can you believe this? Can you believe that she is sitting there and saying, just because those of us had to travel, we're supposed to find
everybody's
the time
just shaking their
at like
head at
3 a.m. on Sunday morning
exactly,
to put up.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Seriously.
Should have woken up this morning, John. 3 a.m. Decorated.
Oh, yeah.
I like your haircut, by the way. Championship haircut looks great.
Yeah. Well, it had to happen.
It needs to be like patted down a little bit, but you know, we can work on that later.
But that's not a surprise that it needs to be patted down. It's always
that way.
Love
the championship haircut. Fresh cut, ready to go?
Yeah. No, fresh cut, ready to go. Speaking of ready to go, what's the broadcast plans again?
Let me pull it up. Our doubleheader, 5 o'clock, 7 a.m. matchup between Mill Creek versus Milton. 8 o'clock, 6 a.m. game, Rome versus Langston Hughes at Lakewood.
Yep, GPB, GPB TV, and GPB.org and the GPB Sports app for the first ever doubleheader, semifinal doubleheader, neutral site, Football Fridays in Georgia as we get you ready for the championships. Hannah and I are going to try to direct all the planes on the tarmac and let you know who's going to be in, what the scores are all night long. So it's going to be a fun night from Lakewood Stadium as we get everybody prepared for Georgia State.
Yeah. And then we'll do media days on Sunday.
Yes. And we'll catch up
with
coaches.
With head coaches. So we'll tell you all about that next week as well as check in with our All-Stars.
All-Stars for the next 2 weeks after this. So it's going to be fun. So the sprint continues when it comes to the championships. So as I turn and see who is here one final time, let me see. So
I think it's everybody.
So it's King James, Ambassador Jeremy, Jake the Snake, and Commander Sandy. And for you who've already put up your decorations because the rest of us actually had to travel when it came to our holiday activity.
Just full of cheer.
Yes, you are.
Every day.
And demands.
Every day.
Cheer and demands.
Just so
if you
cheerful.
Didn't put up your decorations this past weekend, you're wrong and I'm correct.
That's a good impression.
Of you yelling?
I don't yell.
Oh, no, of course not.
I don't think I've ever yelled.
Oh, yeah, you've yelled.
I have?
You have.
When?
Oh, it has nothing to do with this show, but you've yelled.
We've got to figure this out.
Yeah, we do. So what we're going to do is we're going to figure it out, and we're going to let the rest of you guys root on your favorite teams and root on the semifinals. So for everybody here at Georgia Public Broadcasting, thanks for hanging out with us for another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Doubleheader Friday night, Football Fridays in Georgia on all of the GPB platforms. So for everybody here, hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving. Get your decorations up now that we've passed and are headed to Christmas. So for everybody here, I'm
That's
just
your
John.
Final notice.
Play it safe, everybody. We'll see you at the semifinals.